You may have heard in the news the talk about the scandal that took place in FIFA. That's the world, soccer or international soccer organization. And among the leaders, there was the talk of corruption, that they were taking bribes in regard to, which countries would host the World Cup, those types of things. And that's not uncommon with human beings. Corruption, the idea of being able to be swayed from fairness and justice and doing what's right by money or power or any type of thing that might appeal to a person. And it's just disheartening at times to see that common practice in our world today. It really hits home if it happens to you personally, if you experience that and you are treated unfairly and someone does not give you justice because of something that, has influenced them to just leave aside what is right and instead they show favoritism to someone else. Fortunately for us, the one that will judge us in the last day is not that way. God does not have favorites. God is not one who is going to be influenced by anything that a man might say or do or offer him. He cannot be bribed. God is always fair. This statement was made by the Apostle Peter when in Acts chapter 10 we see him coming to the household of Cornelius. This man was a righteous man, a man who feared God, and a man who was about to be ushered into a new chapter of his own life. And it was really a new chapter in the world history when, for the first time, the doors of the kingdom are open to the Gentiles. And now the fulfillment of the prophecies that were made so long before regarding what would come through Abraham, in thy seed all the nations of the earth would be blessed. That was a reference to the fact that through Jesus Christ, not only one people, but all people would have hope. And there would come great blessings. And at this particular time, when Peter came to the household of Cornelius, we're told that chapter 10, verse 34, that Peter opened his mouth and said, "In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, whoever fears Him and works righteousness is accepted by Him." Peter had seen a vision. That vision was of a sheet being let down from heaven. And as that sheet unfolded, there in the midst of it were all kinds of animals. But not just any animals. These animals were the ones that God had told the Jews, you can't touch them, can't eat them, can't consume them, because these are the unclean animals. And yet Peter is told when he sees these, Peter, arise, kill, and eat. And three times this vision is shown to him. Three times he says, Lord, I can't do such a thing. Because of his conviction, his belief, these are not to be touched. Of course, based on his upbringing as a Jew, this was forbidden. However, in the Christian age, certainly that was set aside. However, the real teaching here was that God was not going to be looking at the Gentiles as the Jews had for their history. The Gentiles are not our people. They're not the people of God. They're unclean. God says, not any longer. Peter understands later on what God had spoken or had revealed to him. And here he begins to speak forth this understanding. God shows no partiality. How can a man today be right with God? It doesn't matter what your nationality is, what your background is, what your ethnic origin is. None of those kinds of things matter. Because with God, here's what matters. No matter what your background, if you fear God and if you work righteousness, you are accepted by Him. Just those two things mentioned there. But those two things include a lot of actions, a lot of realization by a person in their minds concerning certain facts and information, and then action that is involved here. A person who fears God has in their hearts and in their minds a great respect for God. When you respect God, when you also literally fear Him because you have learned He is your Creator and you are accountable to Him and you learn what He has commanded of you and you realize you are in sin and that you have not yet accessed the means by which that sin can be forgiven, there is cause for fear. We learn through the gospel that we are in our sins and that we need to repent. That was what was taught by Jesus and the apostles as they prepared the way for the coming kingdom. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven, they said, is at hand. Then Peter in Acts chapter 2, along with the other apostles, preached the message of salvation through Jesus Christ and again called people to repent. When people learn the truth, they fear God. Men and brethren, what shall we do? They said there in Acts chapter 2. That's critical. You have to have the proper fear of God, which moves you to respond to God. Those who then work righteousness, who do the things that God commands. When you do what God commands, when you obey God, you're not working your way to heaven. You're not doing meritorious works to earn your salvation. These are the acts of obedience that righteous people have always done when they heard what God taught and then responded to God's commands. And as a result, worked righteousness. They work righteousness. To do the works that God has given to humankind is to do the works of righteousness. And those works are required by God. We must obey God and demonstrate our obedience to the God of heaven. Here in this case, that's exactly what Cornelius and his household did. They were baptized, verse 48, in the name of the Lord. And these were then added by God to the church. God, again, is not one who shows partiality. We can, as Christians, know that no matter what hostility we may face in this life, no matter what injustice we may face, that in the end, we will stand before a righteous judge, Jesus Christ, and we will be rewarded for faithful living. And we can also know that if we stand before the Lord right now, not yet cleansed of our sins, needing to obey the gospel, that there's hope for us if we'll respond. But when we stand before the Lord in judgment unprepared, again, that God that is impartial will not show favoritism to anyone, but will, according to our works, whether right or wrong, judge us. And if our souls have not been cleansed by Jesus' blood, we'll be separated from Him forever. We will suffer that eternal torment the Bible talks about. So the point is, as these did, we need to respond to the teaching of God's Word with open hearts, receptive minds, and submissive wills. And that's got to be our way all of our days while we're here. If you're not a Christian, we would urge you to think about where you stand before God tonight. Have you been baptized for the remission of your sins into the church that you read about in the Bible? If not, we can study with you further regarding those things, or you may be ready tonight. Or as a child of God, have you been walking faithfully, or is there sin in your life that you need to repent of? That can be done as well tonight, as we stand and as we sing.